I'm still in the spirit of Easter. Firstly, because we've got a few leftover Easter eggs at home, but also because Easter isn't just a day in the calendar. It's a way of living our lives, of engaging with our day-to-day living, our ups and downs, our joys and sorrows. It reminds us that Jesus is alive, made known through his appearances to his followers, that hope is real, and that everything we believe and we do flows from the resurrection. As the risen Christ continued to reveal his presence and bring reassurance to those who followed him. And that's why when we hear the Gospel of John, where Jesus speaks about being the good shepherd who brings life in all its fullness, it connects so naturally with Easter. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That full life is not just a future hope. It begins now, here, in the way we live out our faith, the way we love, the way we belong to one another. And that's what we also see in the reading from Acts. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and, above all, to prayer. William Barclay, one of the commentators, highlights, this wasn't simply a group attending services. It was a deep, shared life which was marked by genuine care for one another. They supported those in need and met together with glad and sincere hearts. It was a spirit-filled community that became a living sign of God's kingdom in the world, bearing witness not just in what they believed, but in how they lived together on a day-by-day basis. But this way of life really didn't begin in Acts. It truly began with Jesus. Jesus brought people together. He walked with them and ate with them and taught them and showed them what love, what humility, what forgiveness, and what service really looks like. He didn't build institutions or structures. He built relationships. He didn't focus on systems. He focused on people, real people. He met individuals where they were, broken, sinful, sick, lost, burdened, weary, anxious, forgetful, sick, unwell, dying. Offering compassion and grace in equal measure. He listened. He gave a lot of time to people. He restored dignity. And he called people into a deeper sense of purpose and belonging. Most importantly, Jesus didn't cling to his divinity. Though he was, in the very nature, God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, Christ humbly laid down his life for us, each one of us. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, wrote, "He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The servant song, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, Let Me Be as Christ to You," speaks powerfully into this picture. Richard Gillard, who wrote this hymn and the music of this song, he observed a growing sense of indifference and coldness, particularly among the younger people, and that's what prompted him to write this song. life had become so busy and complex that there was little awareness of or a desire to help a neighbor confined to their home, who was perhaps facing limiting finances or deteriorating health or loneliness and despair. Richard reminds us that at the heart of the Christian faith is a commitment to treat others as we would wish to be treated, to be like Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Immense love resounds throughout the verses of this song with a depiction of fellowship, of companionship, but more crucially, of practical care. It calls us to ensure that those we care for are not made to feel like objects of pity or of charity, but are treated with dignity, with respect, and a sense of purpose. And therefore, I invite us now to remain seated and remain and sing this hymn number 611. On the order of service, it says verses 1 to 4, but let's sing the whole 6 verses through. And as we do so, let us reflect on how we are called to serve one another in love. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. When I was preparing the sermon for today, the title I gave it was Living the Resurrection Life with the Good Shepherd. So moving on, let us focus a little bit more on the theme of the Good Shepherd. In John's Gospel, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd who calls his sheep by name. And he leads them. His sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. The early church was simply people who learned to listen and respond to the voice of the shepherd. A voice that called to serve, a voice that was an invitation, but most importantly, a voice that led them to a sense of responsibility. And that same calling is for us today to be lived out. Across the UK and around the world, many churches are living out this calling, and also the vision described both in John's Gospel and the reading from Acts, to be Christ's hands and feet in practical ways. Here at DG, we see this reflected in many aspects of our church life. As a church of sanctuary and through our circuit's commitment to welcome, we seek to be a place of unity and hope in times of social pressure and division. Supporting and welcoming strangers, anybody who comes through our doors, absolutely anyone, and standing for peace in a fractured community that we are part of. Initiatives such as Open House, such as Community Lunch, Lunch Positive, House Groups, and our Torts Group, among the other wider community projects, offer modern-day glimpse of the early church in action, but also of love in action. But I see a challenge in all of this. Because we live in a world full of noise, full of distraction, full of competing voices. So we must ask ourselves, are we truly listening to the voice of the shepherd? Because when we do so, it changes everything. It changes how we treat people. It changes how we live together. It changes how we serve. We may have buildings and technology and organization that the early church never had, for which we are very grateful because they are really true gifts to us, but they are not the heart of the church. There is also danger in that we might become busy doing church rather than being the church. And Jesus shows us why it matters. why it matters to be the church. So as we stay in this Easter season, the invitation is plain and simple. Listen to his voice. Follow him closely. Live the resurrection life together, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me conclude with an illustration. There's a story of quite a devoted man in Pennsylvania who was asked whether he was a Christian or not. And he considered his reply. He gave it a real deep thought. And then he said, "I think you'll have to ask my neighbor that question. I'm not the right person to respond to it." And the 13th century Persian poet Sadi is supposed to have said, "Praise not thy work, but let thy work praise you." So let our lives quietly and faithfully bear witness to the one who calls, who leads, and he who laid down his life for his sheep, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen.